Hi everybody, it's Shelby with Hooks, Books and Crime. It's craft and story time. Don't ask me why I did that, but I did it. And now it's going to be on the internet. If you like to crochet or craft and you like true crime, let me be your girl. I crochet and tell you horrible stories. If you're having a good time, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. Maybe a notification. It'd be great. But let's get started. Warning. This episode involves violence against a child and may not be suitable for all listeners. Listen at your own discretion. Elizabeth Olton was a 9-year-old girl living with her brother and mother in the rural town of St. Martins, Missouri. Elizabeth was a very sweet girl. She did well in school, she had many friends, and was a well-loved child. A happy child. On October 21st, 2009, Elizabeth had not returned home at her expected time. As time passed, her mother grew worried and sent her brother out to see if she was at the neighbor's house. Elizabeth would play a few houses down with a girl named Emma, and Elizabeth's brother would play with Emma's older brothers. When Elizabeth's brother arrives, Emma's grandfather is confused as to why he is asking for Elizabeth. He hasn't seen her all day. And that's when he learns that his oldest grandchild, 15-year-old Alyssa Bustamante, was last seen with her. As it grows dark, Elizabeth's mother calls the police and reports her daughter missing. The investigation begins immediately. Naturally, as she was the last person to see her, officers want to speak to Alyssa. She tells them that she was there playing with Emma and volunteered to walk her home. Now, there are two ways to get from Alyssa's house to Emma's house. They could walk alongside the road. However, as this is a rural area, there are no sidewalks, so they'd be walking right off the road. The alternate route would be to go through the woods that stood between their houses. These woods are filled with large trees, and though not acres and acres of land, they still block the moonlight and are still easy to get lost in. Alyssa tells the officers that they went through the woods. Once they got to a point where Elizabeth's house was clearly visible, Alyssa allowed her to walk the rest of the way on her own, and she turned back to head back to her house. She had a church event that evening, which she was present at. Learning this, officers know that a search and rescue is needed immediately. They grid out the land that needs to be searched, call in other units from neighboring areas, and comb through it, each square foot. However, the weather takes a dreary turn. Heavy wind and heavy rains begin, and it seems as if it will never end. But this doesn't deter the search team. They do their best, even crouching down into the mud to check under shrubbery. But to no avail. Elizabeth is still lost. The storm never lets up that evening, and officers are forced to call it until it clears. That next day, the search picks right back up and continues. The storm is over, and the sun is out, making conditions easier to work with. Elizabeth did have a cell phone, and officers were able to ping it and zero in a little bit more to her location before it died. The community comes together and assists in the search. It's a small area, a small community. And when you're in those areas, everybody's kids is your kid. And your kids are everybody's kids. So everybody came out to find Elizabeth. She's everybody's daughter right now. But they still aren't finding any signs of her. Sadly, because of the conditions of the night before, officers begin to believe that they are looking for a body. They speak to Alyssa again, and her story stays the same. The day ends with nothing leading them any closer to finding Elizabeth, and the sheer lack of any evidence that she was in the woods makes officers believe there was foul play. So they put a plan in motion to execute the next day. October 23rd, a search warrant is issued to search Alyssa's house, primarily her bedroom. As soon as they open her door and enter, they realize that the personable, well-mannered, kind girl that they had been speaking to is completely different under the surface. Alyssa Bustamante was born in 1994 in California. She moved to Missouri, and then her twin brothers were born. The arrangement in Missouri lasted a few years, and when Alyssa was around 7, her mom left her dad and they moved back to California. Her brothers were very young toddlers at this time. Alyssa's grandparents helped their daughter with living arrangements, wanting to take off some of the struggle. One day, Alyssa's grandpa stopped by to check on everyone, and he was crushed by what he found. His daughter was passed out on the bed. There were remnants of alcohol and drugs lying around, and the children were clearly malnourished and neglected. It was then that he and his wife realized that they were going to have to take the kids and seek legal custody, no matter how much it hurt them and their daughter. And they did just that. Alyssa and her siblings moved in with their grandparents, and for a few years, their mother would come in and out of their lives. She'd make Alyssa think that she was going to be with her again and that things were better, and then would leave. And Alyssa would be left with feelings of abandonment and heartbreak. They moved back to Missouri, and when Alyssa was 12, her mom did it again. She came around, brought her hopes up again, and then she left. This absolutely broke Alyssa. A girl who began to internalize her pain sobbed out loud. She then attempted suicide. This led to hospitalization. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression. Though she never attempted it again, she grew more isolated at home, kept to herself, continued to internalize her feelings, began to self-harm, and dressed in dark clothes. She wasn't necessarily a goth. She looked more like a scene kid, probably listened to Bring Me the Horizon and Escape the Fate. And this is who Alyssa was when Elizabeth went missing. And this is who they saw when they entered her bedroom. She wrote all over her walls, but not song lyrics or anything like that. She wrote dark things, such as, "I cut to see blood because I like it." Along with this imagery, they also find a knife and bloodstains. When they ask her grandparents what they recall from October 21st, they tell the officers that she arrived home from school and asked if she could go to Elizabeth's house. They told her no, because they had the church function. She then asked if her and her sister, Emma, could go play in the woods for a little bit, and they obliged. Alyssa did return home on time, but she ran through the door and bolted up the stairs straight to her room, which they admitted was not typical behavior. Based off of their findings, police have Alyssa's grandmother bring her in for questioning. They make small talk with her, and then they begin to ask more direct questions. See, along with the knife and blood found in her room, they also found her diary. Her diary is where she let everything out. It was filled with her raw emotions and thoughts, and her last entry was dated October 21st. However, it was scratched out with pen layer over layer, different directions, thinking nobody would be able to read it. But officers were able to use a heavy-duty flashlight and read it. What they read gave them chills. The entry read, "I fucking killed someone. I strangled them and slit their throat and stabbed them. Now they're dead. I don't know how to feel at the moment. It was amazing." Amazing spelled A-H-M-A-Z-I-N-G. Scene kid spelling. When Alyssa is still sticking to her story and keeps lying, they finally mention the diary. They tell her that they saw the entry from October 21st and that they were able to find a way to read it. Her face completely changes. It just drops. She knows exactly what that means. She's caught. They then confront her and ask her why she killed Elizabeth. And she answers she doesn't know. Remember, her grandma brought her to this interview. And because Alyssa is a minor, she's in the room as this happens. So when Alyssa responds, "I don't know." I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up because I saw the video and it fucking killed me. The wail that comes out of her grandmother after realizing her granddaughter did this is so filled with anguish, you feel it with her. When she does this, you see Alyssa's face really crumble. And she begins to cry and she asks if her grandma can leave the room. You know, that wail that came out of her hit her where it hurts. Because this woman loved her like she was her mother. They're finally able to get the confession out of Alyssa. And according to Alyssa, this is what happened October 21st. When her grandparents granted her permission to go play in the woods, she immediately ditched her little sister and went to get Elizabeth. They walked around the woods for a while, with Alyssa secretly leading her to an area that is more secluded, and she begins to try to strangle her. But Elizabeth is stronger than she expected, and she's fighting her too hard. So then she begins to stab her. Then she slits the poor girl's throat. She had already dug a shallow grave for her body, buried her in it, ran home straight to her room to document what had just happened, realizes she just wrote a confession, and scratches it out. Then she goes to the kitchen to wash the kitchen knife that she used and left it in the sink. Then she leaves with her family to the church event. Let that sink in. A 15-year-old pre-digging a grave for a child that she sets her eye on. It's just horrible. It's ugly, ugly. After confessing, she provides where she buried Elizabeth, Elizabeth was found in a shallow grave in an area where they searched, but it was covered in leaves and debris from the storm. They saw nothing remotely resembling a grave, so they kept walking. Now, Alyssa says she does not know why she picked Elizabeth, but I don't believe that. I don't believe it's a stretch to think that, one, she chose her because she was smaller and she thought she was going to be easier to overpower. And two, Elizabeth had the mother Alyssa never got. Even though Alyssa had her grandmother, who did everything she could and loved her like she was her own daughter, the pain Alyssa's mother had already caused her was too great. Elizabeth's mom adored her, and there was never any question that her mother felt anything other than love for her. I think envy was a big part of her motive. Her crime against this beautiful little girl was heinous, and this leads her to be tried as an adult for first-degree murder. She took a plea deal and pled guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole given her age. I feel compelled to remember that Alyssa was a child who probably witnessed and experienced horrors that a lot of us will never see, and really no child should ever see. But that doesn't excuse her. A lot of people start life like Alyssa, and they change their narrative for the rest of their lives. I think this is another prime example of how difficult it really is to determine if it's nature versus nurture. Alyssa hurt a lot of people with her actions. Elizabeth's family, of course, but she hurt her own family as well. Everyone has to find a way to recover. I wish them the best. And that is the story of Elizabeth Olton. Again, please don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, even through Spotify or Apple Podcasts, if you can give me a rating. But I'll catch you on the next one. Okay, bye.